I've got a message tonight. God give it to me. And I'm going to be preaching on it tonight, but I want to talk to you just a little while. Somebody said, you'll destroy the spirit. No, I won't. I want to talk to you. Everybody has a part in what this service amounts to tonight. We've got people here tonight that are in dire need. Friends of mine. Close to me is my own family. And they're desperately in need tonight. I come across others, I never had thought too much about it, but I remember when people were in such unity, they got together and things happened. Power, Brother Ripley, remember that. They got together and the power of God moved. Power of God moved. And I'm going to preach tonight on the danger of being empty. You know, people's talking today about empty pews. Empty this and empty that. I'll tell you what, when the church gets full again, the pews will not be empty again. There's empty people. They don't know they're empty, they're deceived. But I want to get into that. You know, this building I'm preaching in tonight, I had a whole lot to do in building this church. In the spiritual, I used to preach a revival here every year. I preached the first revival, and I've seen whole families get saved in this church. Down in the basement here, I've seen great miracles take place before they had a stovepipe going out the window, and didn't look like they'd ever get a building like this built. But I've seen those things. That Sister Gloria was a teenage girl at that time, and I will take time also. Brother Gloria, you always sing my favorite song. I always, every now and then, I go out and let God mold me again. I call on him to do it. And if I need any scraping or pounding or whatever I need to get myself in shape, I want to be in shape with him. I remember Dave Bridgman, as I said, got the Holy Ghost right over there one night in front of that pew right there. Laid there 2.5 hours and spoke in tongues. Seen all kinds of miracles, but the greatest miracle I've seen in this building was down in the basement. When they wheeled in a woman one night that had epileptics for years, years and years, and she was, I don't know what all was the matter with her, but she was skin and bone. She looked like a skeleton. And she'd had all these things wrong with her, you know, and they wheeled her in there that night. And I looked her over and I thought, can God really do this? Will God really do that? Will he? So I preached. And I preached on healing that night. You see, it's not all me doing it or you doing it or somebody else. It's all of us getting everybody together. I learned that lesson that night. I'd seen people healed, you know, and everything. I'd prayed for lots of people got healed. But this would take a notable miracle. Now, I didn't just pray for her myself. And you may laugh at me if you want to. I've had a little fear that it might not happen. But when I got the crowd all together, all fear was gone. We got around that woman, we began to pray. Somebody said, who prayed the prayer of faith? Who cares? It happened. That woman come out of that wheelchair. They'd only give her a few weeks of months to live. And she come out of that wheelchair and danced and shouted all over the place that night. And she lived years and years after that. She left walking out of the wheelchair. Now, who done that? God done it. Now, Jesus couldn't do the mighty works. Now, I'm going to get on your case tonight, everybody, but that's because I love you. I love God. And I don't know, differences, people have had differences, but it's time to put away all kinds of differences. And when we all get close enough to God, the difference will not be there. But Jesus could not do the mighty works that he would in his own country because of what? Their unbelief. That's what's the matter with the church today. They're claiming they got faith, but they have unbelief. We've got to come together on common ground and get down to business in believing, the business of believing instead of unbelief. You see, they call this thing they've got going a faith revival, a faith revival, a faith revival. Well, it may be, but I'm not seeing the fruits of it. I want to talk to you about this emptiness. I look at people and I can see they're really empty. I look at churches and I see they're empty. It's not anything to prove something that be empty. We need to prove that we've got something. As something called faith. Now, I want to go to a scripture here tonight. Keep this in mind. My God can do anything. Your God can do anything. And he said, we're two will agree. In other words, he keeps on bringing in unity, 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 not division. Every time that God begins to move in a church or something, somebody will come in with a wrong spirit and try to bring a division in it. Every time somebody is thriving and something is really doing something for God, so there's always something that will come against it and try to destroy it. And then they say, well, is God real? I want to tell you, we're living in a time in our nation right now that it needs revival, and you and I are responsible to bring it. And if we're of the faith, then we will bring revival in our community, and on and on and on. I've seen many, many things, but I want you to turn your Bible first to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 and read a couple of verses there. Now the Spirit's talking. Now see, if you don't have faith and you don't have the Spirit, then you can't hear him talk. We got to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And that's what he said to all seven churches in the book of Revelation. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. He told them all that. Now, if it was seven churches here tonight, why, and the Lord gave them all the same message, that's what he would say to them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Now, there's people here from different churches, and there's people here from different denominations and things like that. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has. Have you heard from God lately? Have you heard what the Spirit has to say lately? Huh? Now, look what it said there. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. How many believes we're in the latter times? Anybody? Everybody's talking about that now. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. In other words, they'll become unbelievers, and they will depart from the faith, and they will give heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're in that area right now. They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they think they've got the victory when they're clear down on way down here someplace or other, and they claim they got faith, they claim they got this, but I'm going to tell you what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen, and that evidence and that hope has to get in you as well as me. You may have come here tonight to see if I pray for somebody and get healed. I tell you what, I came here tonight calling on all of you to get together and let's all see somebody healed. Don't put it off on the preacher. Don't put it off on the deacon. Don't put it off on the person that sits in the pew. Get in this thing and let's rejoice in the Lord and let's let the power of God come back in the church and let's get the yoke of the devil broken off of it. Yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. So it's the anointing. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Now, don't let me forget my theme. Huh? I won't forget the theme. Huh? Emptiness. Emptiness. The terrible thing of emptiness. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. Let's identify some things. You can't do anything with anything until you identify. You know, people are asking today, is that in the Spirit or is that not? Is that the Word or is it not? Well, why don't you find out? On your own. Don't ask somebody else. Dig it out. It's in there. Somebody said, I don't understand the Word of God. I got to get me one of them new Bibles. No, you don't need the new Bible. You need the Bible that it takes the Spirit to understand. And that's what the King James Version is. It's the Bible that only the spiritual can understand it. Now, I want you to look here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, I want you to look at that word they. They went out from us. Now, nearly all these people that you're talking about that's dead and everything, these churches are dead, they went out from a church where people was getting saved. I ask them all the time. They say, I go to this church. Oh, it's running 2,000. I said, where did you get saved? Oh, I got saved in that little church down in that little town. How come you to leave that church in that little town? Well, I wanted to get up and see, they're sitting there. Come on now. They're not missed. Huh? If they hang out at church, they're not missed. The pastor don't even know their name. He's not acquainted with any of them. Are you listening to me? And they went out from us. Now I want to decide who's us and who's they. They went out from us. When we really run this down, us means us that's spiritual minded. But they, who are they? They went out from us. But they were not of us. And when they go out from us, they'll let you know that they're not of us. How many heard that gossip clan, you know? They'll let you know that I don't go to that church anymore. I'm not of them. They went out from us. They were not of us. If they had been of us, they will no doubt have continued with us. We need to identify these people so that we can disfellowship. Some of you are fellowshipping with people like that. They're talking about this church. They're talking about that church. They're running this church down, that church down. Well, that means they went out from us. They're not of us. If they'd have been of us, they'd have continued with us. Why don't they leave us alone? How many would like to have people leave you alone? I want them kind of folks to leave me strictly alone. I don't even want to be around them. Somebody said, now you're getting hard. No, I'm getting hard on the devil. They went out from us. They were not of us, but they've been of us. They would no doubt have continued with us. They went out from us that it might be manifest that they were not of us. So then you know them people then who they are. They are not of us. When they're talking like that, you can identify them. They are not of us. So what are you going to do? Just keep on fellowshipping? 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, but the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. That's the only way that we can have true fellowship is walk in the light as he is in the light. There is no other way, church. Now, we know who us is. How many knows who us is? We're us. We're of God. We're of God, little children. Now, who is they? How many can hold up your hand and say you know who they are? Who? What's the matter with the rest of them? How come you don't know them? We're supposed to know them that labor among us, and we're supposed to know them that don't labor among us. Now listen what it says here. In the verse above that, in verse 18, listen to what it says. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time. What's he saying here? He's saying it's the last time. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1? The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what? The faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So it's the time. It's the latter time that both scriptures identifies this as the latter time. We're in the latter time. If you can't see it with our government rules and the turmoil going on around the world, if you can't see that we're in the latter time, you're really blind. You're blind. We need to get our eyes open. Now, let's look and see what he says here. Little children, it is the last time. Verse 18. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, plural, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, John said there's already a whole lot of Antichrists. What's he talking about? These spirits. Huh? People that pack these spirits. So who are they? How many got them identified? I want you to raise your hand. If you didn't get them identified, don't raise your hand. But if you did, now half of you raise your hand, half of you don't, let me read it again. I'd like to stand here and read it all night till you get it. Listen to what he said. Little children, it is the last time. Now he's identifying these people. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, said you've already heard about the Antichrist coming, but look what he said, even now are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, so that identifies, that puts us in a place that we have to know that we're in the last days, that things are winding up, and if these went out from us, they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have continued with us, and on. So we got this identified, but now, what are we going to do with the empty people in the church? Empty people never fill an empty church. Empty people will do more empty in the church. Huh? Come on. I run this all down and got a hold of a word, rogue. How many knows what a rogue is? Rogues in. These people are rogues in the church. And that's the funny thing about a rogue. I was thinking about them the other day. The rogue cattle. It had an open range down where we was at. And they had rogue cattle. They could find a way of pushing a post down or anything else to get in, but you'd run them all day. They couldn't find a way out. You know why? Because they didn't want to go out. They wanted to stay right there and rogue everything. But when they went out, you know, you never seen them again. So they rogues. And these things are rogues. And I'm writing a book on all this to get people's mind off of some of the things that they think is really truth and everything like that. Now, let's talk about the empty spirits, the empty soul, empty. Let's talk about that. Let's take a very familiar scripture, and let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. When he got saved, when he got delivered, when he got born again, the unclean spirit went out of him. And he walked in dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, the Spirit said, I will return to my house from which I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven more spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in to dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto the wicked generation. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he walks through dry places, and he finally says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to gather up seven other spirits worse than me, and I'm going to come and enter into him. So he's seven times worse now than he was before he's delivered, right? All right, he gets cleaned up again. He gets cleaned up again. Man gets cleaned up again. What's going to happen again? He's going to have seven more. So that makes 14. Some folks have been to the altar so many times they need deliverance from 100 evil spirits. I know, you know, you're looking at me funny. But every time you get delivered, them spirits that goes out, they're going to get seven more. They're going to be after you. But now here we got this emptiness. Empty. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And look at that. Now I'm going to put every one of you, I don't want you to get your mind on something else. I want you to get your mind on praying for somebody that's needed. Get your mind on praying and getting somebody to heal. Don't worry about what I'm preaching, but you better receive it, because this is the truth. Now listen to what it says here. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They had their lamps. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. We'll see where we're at tonight. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, that is foolish. Eh? What are you going to do out there carrying a lamp around with no oil in it? Empty. An empty lamp. That's a dangerous thing to be empty. And 5 of them were wise, and the foolish took their lamps and took no oil. Well, if they didn't have no oil, they didn't have no light.
If they hadn't had no light, they didn't have Jesus, because he's the light. He's the way, he's the truth, the light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So they're in dangerous territory. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamp. So they took some oil with them. They're wise. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now they all rose and trimmed their lamps. Even the ones that didn't have no oil rose and trimmed their lamps. But woe to the empty. God knows tonight whether you're empty or not. Do you go to church and sponge up for your brother? I'm going to go tonight, brother and sister, so-and-so there, and when they get there, they're good prayer warriors, and I'll get to feeling good. Because they're there. Come on. You ought to feel good all the time. Amen. You ought to be around your house. You ought to be able where you can touch the throne of God and rejoice in the joy. I want to tell you, when we're empty, we don't have no joy. We don't have no peace. We don't have no blessing. We don't have nothing. When you're empty, you're empty. You can trim it all you want to, still empty. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Folks, it's almost midnight, I believe. I believe where it's almost midnight. Someone said, why is all these things happening? All this murder and all this killing and all the things happening. It's midnight. Midnight. At midnight, God moves at midnight. In Egypt, he moved through at midnight, the midnight cry. You know, if they didn't have the blood on the doorpost, guess what? The eldest son died when they didn't have blood on the post. Woe to them that don't have no oil. Woe to them that are empty. Are you empty? Are you just a shell? Well, I've been empty a few times. And if every one of you tell the truth, you've been emptied out a few times. At midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps went out. That's going to be a great scramble one of these days. They're going to depend on you, and you ain't got enough. Even the ones that wasn't empty didn't have enough, but to barely make it themselves. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. What a shame. What a thing to suffer when we got everything. I mean, those in Matthew 6:33, now the kingdom of God is the message. It's been the message since John. Luke 16:16 said the law and the prophets were to John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. What is the kingdom of God? Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Luke says, know ye not that the kingdom of God is within you? So it's in there, and if we don't have that oil that is in there on the inside of us, we're empty. I'll tell you, most people I know today has just got enough salvation to make them a little bit miserable so they'll repent. And then the biggest part of them, if you can get them to alter anymore, they'll shed a few tears till they get relieved a little bit and say, I got it. I'll tell you, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, it's not going to die down in you in the morning or next week. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you full of that? If you're not full of that, you need some more. Can you say amen? Hey, you've got to be filled with this thing. Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you can't sit on the phone and gossip all day and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You just can't do it. There's got to be some changes in people's lives because they're miserable. Well, the bridegroom tarried. Amen. I want to go into a little bit more. How many knows what Romans 1:11 says? They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God turned them over to what? When we wonder why people's all out here killing each other and all this kind of thing, they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. They wanted something else in their knowledge. Second Peter, I've preached on that until I'm blue in the face, and I don't believe hardly anybody's even got that one yet. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1 said, unto them that have obtained like precious faith. How many believes we ought to be full of that precious faith? They've obtained that precious faith with us. And he goes on down and tells us all these things. According as his divine power, he has given to us. There's that word us again. How many knows it's to us? And us is those that's with Jesus and with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. That's us. God made us in his image, spirit, soul, and body, and that's us. We're in the image of God. And we need to be in the us crowd. Get out of the they crowd and get in the us crowd. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. Now wait a minute, they didn't like to retain knowledge. So through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. I don't know too many people that's overshadowed with too much knowledge anymore in the Bible. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it. But they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, so God turned them over to a reprobate mind. So there's a peril of an empty heart. How many of those people's got an empty heart? They've hardened their heart to their empty heart. The peril of an empty heart. When an unclean spirit is, I could go through that again, but I'm not going to. But the fullness of God needs to be on the inside of us. How many knows that? The fullness of God. In Jesus dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How many know he was full of God? My wife sings a chorus, filled with God, filled with God. Somebody said, I'd like to get out of here. I don't think there's anybody that did that, but somebody might say that, you know. We're getting to where we're to. Like these robes that I was talking about, I know lots of preachers that all they can do all week long is chase the robe. And they don't know a robe from one that's got the power of God on the inside of them, or they wouldn't be chasing a robe. Why don't you come back to church? Why don't you come back to church? Well, they went out from us. They were not of us. You gonna bring the robe back? Well, they need to be straightened out. Huh? God is dealing with the church today to get down to business with God. There's a lot of folks out there that's never been saved. How many knows that? There's a lot of folks that's never been in church. There's a lot of folks that don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know anything, and God is dealing with us today to bring this fullness of Godhead inside of us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Just think of all the things. It says there in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Now these are all things we're supposed to be full of. The knowledge temper. But I just lost. Better gain it back pretty quick. Because that fellow was going to knock on the door after a while with them seven bad boys. Huh? He's going to knock on the door with seven bad boys. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. Do we have all that? To brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you. Now they will make you what? What does it say, John? Yeah. This shall make you that you be not unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and he has forgot that he was purged from his old sin. So he's got to start all over again. Start all over again. So, he that lacketh these things is blind, can't see afar off, and he has forgot that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You'll never be empty. I think somebody needs to write a song. I'll never be empty again. And mean it. Whatever head is bound, and your musicians come. Now, we got some that's going to be prayed for after a while. How many knows what I'm getting ready to do? I want everybody in this building come to this altar and pray, especially if you're not full, if you're in a dangerous condition of emptiness. I want to see you come to this altar And I want to see us all join our faith together. And that like precious faith. So when we pray for somebody here tonight, I don't know how many of you, I know one or two that's really got a need in their life.